good turnout here this evening. We've got several people taking part this evening, so we're really looking forward to it. But let's just commit our time to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the immense blessing of fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And we thank you, Lord, for just even the time we've had so far this evening in that regard. We thank you for the invitation that you have given to all people to repent of their sin and to accept Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. And we thank you for the promise you give that upon repentance and confession, you forgive and you bring into your family and you make us the children of God. And for that, we will be eternally grateful. We thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, and all your blessings, spiritual, material, in every way. And Lord, we want to commit just our meeting this evening to you. We thank you even in advance of what we're going to hear tonight, Lord. And we ask just for a sense of your Spirit being with us tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I asked Andrew and Jill to come up, Jeff, if you want to do your wee announcement, sir.
I'm not going to go over everything I should have said this morning. I believe there's a couple of birthdays actually in the fellowship today, and both the girls are here today, so you can work that one out. But it's actually the fellowship's birthday as well. We are 26 today, so we're into our second quarter century. So there you are. I just want to highlight a couple of things from during the week. I want to mention the Wednesday night again, the conversational Bible study. We're in 1 Thessalonians 4. We're dealing with a passage which is all about our lives being lived in a holy way in matters of sexual morals and conduct. It's an incredibly important passage. One of the frustrations sometimes with the Wednesday evening is that folks are maybe there one week, not the next, or not there at all. And it's the Word of God that is the means of transformation. So could I just plead with people to make that a priority? As we think these things through and discuss them, this is an incredible privilege that we have. There was a girl there last week from another church, conversation study, saying, "We just don't get to do this. We just don't get to do this." So we have a privilege, folks. So let's really think that through. Second thing from during the week is the men's night. The place will be transformed on Friday night. There'll be 3 table tennis tables. And we'll have great fun, and there's a nice squad of guys coming, including a fair number of unbelievers. It starts at 7:30. If I could ask our own guys to please park up in the Roddens at the top of that lane, it leaves it for visitors coming and stuff, and Friday night can be busy enough at the solicitors there with people using the fast food outlets. Remember Reuben, who'll be sharing the gospel at the end of the night. I just want to mention again as well, we are going to be having a baptismal evening on Sunday the 1st of December. And we teach what is found in the New Testament, that you will not find an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. So if you have made that commitment to Christ, we would encourage you to think this through biblically. And talk to us on that. So that's all I'm going to announce.
Thank you. So one of the blessings of this night is it gives the opportunity for folks who have joined us in the fellowship just to sort of almost formally introduce themselves. So Jill and Andrew, I'd like you to come up to the front and tell us a bit about yourselves.
Side of what we're standing.
Hello.
Evening, everybody. So we're Jill and Andrew Blythe. Most of you probably know us as the new married couple that joined the church only a couple of months ago. We were talked about before, I believe. We've both recently moved to East Belfast after getting married just at the end of July there. I am the local one, so I grew up, well, I actually originally lived in East Belfast until I was about four, but then moved to St Field and I've lived there ever since. My parents are still based there. We actually went to Finnickey Methodist Church. That's a long story as to why we drove into Belfast, past many other churches to get there, but that's for another time. I was very fortunate. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are both Christians, and I just grew up knowing Jesus, knowing what that meant to follow him. No exact date and time as to how I became Christian, just probably around starting school, probably about first year, I think I just really understood what Jesus' grace meant, and actually understood that I didn't have to keep coming to him being really sorry for having done stuff wrong. I actually understood that if I committed my life to Christ, that he would forgive my sins, and that would be a transforming thing that changed me and changed how I approached living my life. So that's kind of how I first became a Christian.
So I'm not local. I was born in Istanbul, Turkey, to missionary parents. So my dad's from Scotland and my mum's from Singapore. So I grew up in Istanbul till I was 18 and went to uni. We met at church in Cambridge at university. Then I decided to pursue Jill across the UK for many years to try and marry her. Finally pinned her down in Belfast. That was fine. And that's why we're now in Belfast. So we're both working here. I became a Christian Easter 2003. I also grew up in a very loving Christian home. My parents were always very open with their faith, but also encouraged us to look into it for ourselves. But it was only in sort of 2003, when I was 11 years old, I was given the chance to be baptized. I hadn't been baptized up to that point. My parents made it very clear that they wanted me to make my own choice. And when I spoke to the minister, he was very good, but quite challenging on my faith. And it really threw me as to why I didn't have all the answers. But I really understood at that point that I needed to commit to something. It was either this or not. So I did commit to it, knowing that I didn't know everything at that point. But through the years after that point, I was about 11. And then from that point on, the church was really gracious to me and gave me a lot of support through youth groups and Bible studies to just help me understand what it was to be a follower of Christ and all that that meant. So that's my story.
So we're both doctors. I'm training to be a GP. But halfway through that training program of 3 years, and Andrew's just started his training to become a surgeon of an unknown kind as yet. We've not decided on that yet. We're both still adapting, I suppose, to being married. It's been absolutely wonderful after so many years of being apart. We were together at the start in Cambridge, but then I went to Inverness. He was still in Cambridge. Then he came up to Edinburgh. I moved to Aberdeen. And then I moved here for a year, and he was still over in Scotland. So he literally was following me, but now we're both here, and that's been such a joy. But and we're spending all of our time together, which is great. Well, almost all our time if we're not working. So since university, we've been in lots of faithful churches, especially up in Scotland, faithful teaching churches that really put Christ at the centre. And we've been involved in lots of different things throughout those churches. They've been wonderful church families to show us just how we can be serving and joining with a fellowship, which has been such a joy then to come here. We've been involved in worship bands, leading Bible studies, and we're really passionate about handling God's word faithfully. We also are very passionate about our families. Some of whom don't believe in Christ, and that's obviously a big burden to us. We care for our communities, and we both work and how we work in our communities and our neighbourhoods. So it's been such a joy to see how this fellowship has such a heart for the surrounding vicinity and those in it, and a heart for bringing the gospel to the people and those around us. It really does encompass, Acts 1 verse 8, when Jesus encourages us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, but starting on our doorstep.
So just to finish off, what can you be praying for us? So I'm going to do a 3-point prayer point. So the first one is home, and then I'll do Belfast, and I'll do further afield. So in our home, please would you just continue to pray that we would grow in grace as a married couple. We have been very, very blessed and encouraged by so many good role models, both within our families and outside, in our churches as well. But pray that we would allow scripture, especially ones that have encouraged us in our walk as Christians, to change us to be a better team as a couple for God. And that we would keep on honouring both our families and the others, and also fostering good relationships with them. In terms of locally, so point two, Belfast, just pray for our work. It is a busy life being a junior doctor, lots of busy shifts, and also lots of colleagues who don't know Jesus, which can be a challenge in the workplace. So pray for lots of good witness and good new friendships so we can tell people about Christ. Pray for activities that we're hoping to be involved in. So I've just joined a rugby club locally. You know, we're trying to reach out to our neighbours here, bring them around for cups of tea and things. And obviously also part of being part of church. Please do pray that these things would lead to fruit for the gospel. And then finally, further afield, I grew up a missionary kid and always was a missionary kid, so I never feel very settled in one place for very long, which may not be good for many people, but that's okay. Just please pray that as we listen to God regarding our medical training, that we would be open and humble, knowing that He may call us to things that we don't want to do, but know that He wants us to do. Pray that we'd be listening to Him to be faithful. And that's it, really.
Oh, that's marvellous, and you took my last, I was going to ask you two things to pray for. So
right ahead there, mate.
Fantastic, thanks, Star, for that. Actually, Jonathan, you come close to that.
Okay.
If, would you maybe just pray for Jill and Andrew there, please?
Our Father, we thank you for the encouragement that it is to see people who are enthused for your word and for to do what you would have them to do. Our Father, we thank you for the encouragement that they have been to us. Our Father, we would pray that as they would pursue their studies and their training, that you would indeed guide them as to where you would want them to go. Our Father, we pray for those in their family who are unsaved, and our Father, we pray that you would help them as they would witness to them. Father, perhaps that there will be some fruit to your glory. So our Father, we pray that you would bless Jill and Andrew and all that they would seek to do. Our Father, we pray that you would help us help them as they would and endeavour to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And it is marvellous for the life that you have chosen to join us here. Carson is next up then. Without introduction.
Yeah, it is a delight to have fellowship with new folks who love the Lord, and we certainly will follow your progress with prayerful interest. You're very welcome. Thank you for coming. Philippines. I've been asked to say a wee bit about Mike and Rachel. If you've ever tried to get any information out of Mike, you'll understand the difficulty that I faced. Nevertheless, I manfully pursued him and got some information from him. But before I do, a little bit of background. Some people find background information a bore. I personally like it. So you're going to get it. 7,250 islands make up the Philippines. Bet you didn't know that. Maybe you did. 700 of those islands are inhabited, and the bulk of the population of the Philippines live on just 11 of those islands. Over half the population are under 20. And the fourth biggest source of income in the Philippines is the sex trade. 500,000 people are involved in it. About 400,000 women and 100,000 children are currently today, as we sit here, involved in the sex trade in the Philippines. As far as religion's concerned, the country proudly proclaims that it's the only Christian nation in Asia. Roman Catholicism is by far the largest religion, 81%. Roughly, are Roman Catholic. 6% are Muslim, and 3% are evangelicals in the broadest sense of that term. That all sorts of groups, not just believers in the sense that we would understand them. So folks who are genuinely committed to Jesus Christ are a really tiny minority in the Philippines. Cure International is the US-based charity that operate the hospital where Mike is CEO. They operate programs and hospitals in 29 countries around the world. There's one in Uganda. There's one in a number of African countries, but of course Mike's the one in Philippines. He's in T-Bone Cure Hospital, which began treating patients in 2014. It's in Davao City, which is in Mindanao Island, which is down the very south of the Philippines. Davao, where the hospital is situated, is the second largest city in the Philippines. So it's serving a huge population base. Its primary mission is to provide physical and spiritual healing for children, especially in the field of orthopedic surgical care. They do this through free consultations and subsidized surgery. They treat things like club feet, spinal deformities, untreated burns, cleft lip and palate, and so on. It's a pediatric hospital. That's what they specialize in. As far as Mike, even by Mike's standards, I think at the moment Mike is very busy. He's having to work long hours, a lot of disciplinary problems at the moment. He's just suspended two staff, and then there are a number of other cases pending. It seems to take up, that end of things seems to take up a lot of his time, as well as the general administration of the hospital. He also spends a lot of time hosting teams and visitors. Lots of teams come out from America, particularly medical teams, to work in the hospital. He has a lot of visitors from around the world, and he obviously has to sort of host, he has to look after them, take them around, see that they're... So there's a lot of additional work to the normal work that's generated by the running of the hospital. He's added some new staff to his team, and he seems content that they are good additions to the team, so we're thankful for that. Rachel works, as you know, in the school where the children go. She is principal there, and she also works in the classroom, so she's enjoying that mix of responsibilities, although it does make for a busy life, I understand. The boys are doing well in school. The latest craze is skateboarding. This is life is skateboarding. I understand at the moment. How long that will last is not quite clear, but that's the current craze. They've been away for a few days. They got a couple of days break during half term, which they have enjoyed immensely. And of course, as you know, they hope to come home for a short break at Christmas, though I think they're a little bit worried about the cold weather when they come home, because it'll be very hot, and then a few hours later it's going to be chilly. So they are very grateful. They have asked particularly that you be thanked for your prayerful support. They are very thankful, and they are conscious of folks in Castlereagh Fellowship remembering them and praying for them. Mike is conscious that although the physical needs of patients are important, that the spiritual needs of both patients and staff are also important. It's a balance that hasn't always been maintained in the hospital, and Mike is anxious to get the balance right. He has put together a new ministry team, which he feels is already making an impact on the hospital. And it's hoped that when I go out, we'll be able to work with that team to encourage and teach the Word of God to them, so that they will be strengthened as they in turn work with patients and families and their fellow members of staff. What I think is being proposed is that I'll have four days in the hospital. I'm only going for 10 days in total. I'll have 4 days in the hospital, and during the afternoon and evenings of those days, I'll be doing some teaching with them. The sessions will be open not only to the ministry team itself, but to any other members of staff who want to come. Attendance will be purely on a voluntary basis. That's because a little while ago, the regional spiritual director, which is the guy who is overall charge, of the in the Far East of the sort of spiritual instruction and climate in the hospitals. He came to do some teaching. Attendance was compulsory, and the outcome was almost universal apathy and disinterest among the staff. So I think they've kind of learned from that. The problem is that in the Philippines, as in many other countries, many who profess faith are purely nominal Christians. And even those who are genuine believers, the majority of them, for them, faith means very little. It makes no difference in daily life. It's a shallow thing. They have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in the Bible or in their faith. It's just a thing. It's just a profession. And what Mike hopes is that there will be even a small group of genuine believers who will be interested in the things of God and in learning the things of God and going a little bit deeper into the Word of God. And then as those people are trained and taught, that they in turn will be able to interact with their fellow members of staff, and perhaps engage them and encourage them and excite them to commit in a more realistic way to Christ. We'll see how things develop. We don't really know what will happen, how it'll go, whether there will be any interest on the part of the staff or whatever. We just have to play it by ear and see how it goes and look to God. During the mornings, as I say, the course will be the afternoon and the evenings. During the morning, I would hope to sort of one-to-one meet up with the folks who are signed up, if there are any who signed up for the course, so that they can get to know me and I can get to talk to them and maybe assess what they need and what they're expecting and try to sort of tailor what I say to their needs. At the moment, that's just a blank canvas, so I've got to try to learn on the hoof, if you like. The course could go well, or it could be a complete failure. At the moment, we don't know. We're just looking to God for that. If you want to pray, pray that Mike and I will have wisdom as we approach this unknown quantity, that there will be a group of people who will have genuine interest in the Word of God, and that God will bless this effort for His glory. Thank you.
What are your dates, Carson?
21st ago, 21st of November. And back at the end of the month, God willing.
Carson, what are you teaching? I know you said that you have to assess for individuals, but your course, what is your course?
Well, one thing out of it is that out of the darkness,
yes,
which is an outline basically of the gospel. But that may not be appropriate, so that I'll have that in the back pocket before I proceed.
That's great, thank you for that. I'm going to ask Louise if I can find Louise.
Yeah.
Louise, would you pray for Carson and Mike and speak up loud so that they at the front can hear you? Thank you.
Thank you.
thank you. So we have, I believe we have a model with us this evening.
With you.
I noticed she was sitting directly in front of them. I haven't actually noticed the models. Deduce from that what you like.
Yes, yes, you're funny. Yes, I'm modelling the Little Mikes t-shirt this evening. I apologise, there were no younger models available or willing, so you're stuck with the OAP here. I'm sure you're actually wondering why Debs isn't up here modelling, and to be truthful, so am I, because I've actually heard she's away for the weekend for her birthday, but that can't be true because, like, it's my birthday as well today. And why am I up? Where is she when you need her? But, that's Michelle. Yeah. Oh, sorry, it's the technology. But really, it is a pity, actually, Debs isn't here tonight because she's the leader of the group, and the toddler group has been her vision. And she has spent much time in prayer, planning, and preparation. So in order for the work to commence last month. Little Mites has had an encouraging start, having been up and running now for 5 weeks. It meets on Monday mornings at 10:30 for preschool children, and its aim is really for the team of nine to show the love of God through providing these young children with a safe and positive environment to enjoy play, as well as for the team to develop friendships with the parents and carers who come along. Now, this has gone extremely well so far, and actually better than anticipated, mainly because those who've came along to the group have really been friendly, engaging, and very easy to talk to. At present, there are 14 babies and toddlers on the register. I'm delighted to see that one of them is here tonight, and it's great to see her. And also, we have 6 parents and carers who come along that do not attend the fellowship here. In addition to them, then we have a couple of our own young mums from the fellowship who come with their babies and support the work, which is very encouraging to all of us. The hour and a half long session is broken down into 3 parts, playtime, snack time, and circle time. Now, the first hour is playtime, where the kids can play with a variety of toys that has been sourced by Debs. And then this time ends with the tidy up song. And this is where we encourage the kids to really clear up their own mess. Now, we don't threaten them or anything like that, or say, like, you're not getting a snack if you don't tidy up. We don't do anything like that. We're not at home. We're very well behaved. But once the toys are tidied away, the kids then, they sit at the wee table and chairs, and they're given a healthy snack. And this lasts for 15 minutes. Now, during this time, if some of the mums are maybe nursing their babies, the team will take the babies off them. We will get our wee nurse and allow them to go get a cup of tea and be able to talk to others without the distraction of their young babies. The remaining 15 minutes then is circle time, and the kids then move on to the mat. Now, this is a favourite time for all of the team, because it's when there's a special box of musical instruments come out and the children all take one, and then the music starts and they all start drumming. But thankfully, the music does end, and I'm the most delighted when it does. And the battering on the drums, xylophones, tambourines, etc. does in fact cease. And after we check that we haven't perforated our eardrums, we then all settle down to a short Bible story. Now, over the past 5 weeks, Michelle and Vivian have had the responsibility for telling the story at the simplest level so that these wee mites can understand. Now, that's no easy task, because some of them can not even stand. But it has been amazing to watch how, using illustrations and creative storytelling, they have been able to hold the attention of these very, very young children. And it also has really helped that the mums have voluntarily came and sat on the mat along with their toddlers They could just sit around the edge in the chairs that are around the edge and distance themselves, but they've came and they've done this, and they've actually seemed to appreciate this special time being spent in this way. And I suppose really it's not something that happens in every toddler group. This is obviously the most important few minutes of the whole hour and a half, because the parents are listening to the story as well. So for example, last week the parents and kid heard the story about blind Bartimaeus and how he had cried out to Jesus in his need, and that Jesus did not ignore him or walk on by, but heard his cry, helped him, and met his need. A story simply told, but with a powerful message of the compassion of Christ. Story time then ends with a short prayer, and you're probably thinking, well, that's the end of the whole thing, but oh no. Then on comes the baby shark song, and it's sung with all its actions and all its glory to mark the end of the morning. And I think they use it because at the end it goes, it's the end, it's the end. See, who said I couldn't sing? But I would sing it all to you, but you actually would be praying that Daddy Shark would come along and eat me up. But if you do want to listen to the catchiest tune ever to mess with your head, please go on YouTube, and maybe after one of Jeff's talks, you'll be able to listen to it. Now, I don't know about liking, sharing, subscribing, or anything like that, but you better like, share, and subscribe to Jeff's after the text that we've been sent. So four prayer points. You're not going to have to endure that. Lest you should ever forget the name, Little Mites, we've taken the mites and we've got five prayer points. Even if you maybe only remember one of them, maybe someone else then will be mentioning another one. So for prayer, first of all, that we would make circle time count. It's a special time and it's the most important time, but that the Lord would use the word that is spoken to make a difference in the lives. You know, simple word, but a profound difference could be made. Also, that we would have increased numbers. We'd love to see more come along from the neighbourhood, but obviously we need it at a level that we can cope with well. Thirdly, for the team, for Debs, as she leads, that she'll have wisdom and help and all that she has to plan, and that we would serve God well as a team. Enjoyable though the work is, it's not for our benefit, for our enjoyment, as we heard with Carson yesterday, but it is in fact for the service for the kingdom of God, and that we would do it unto him. Also, that for there we would encourage, and that there would be an eagerness for the ladies who come along to attend other events, such as the Bots Run in November, Afternoon Tea in December, and the Carl Service in January. No, you're sleeping. And then finally, also, that we would seize opportunities as they come along to share the gospel and the hope that is within us. All right, thank you.
That is marvellous, Marina, isn't it? So superb that we have now the facility to be able to do this. This is what it's about. And Stephen, could I ask you maybe to pray?
Just to add to that, I should have mentioned it in the announcements. You saw me, Emma, who's Maria's daughter, who has just had a second baby there. Maybe Emily, she has bronchiolitis, which you know about, not bronchitis, bronchiolitis, breathing difficulties. So she's in the bottom, she's in the hospital. It's quite a frightening thing, you know, the not being able to breathe and stuff. So, an opportunity for the girls to show interest in Emma.
Yeah, is that the baby or the mother?
Sorry, we baby Emma. It's a bronchiolitis, it's a thing for kids.
Father God, we just want to bring this work up a little nice before you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to align the facilities you've provided, Lord. We thank you for the start that's been made already, Lord, for these 14 different children who've been coming along, for different moms and carers who are from outside the fellowship, Lord, who maybe don't know you, Lord. We thank you for the willingness to come and interact, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the ongoing work, Lord, that you would guide the team in their conversations with them, Lord, and those opportunities to come up, Father. We pray that more would come, that more would be engaged with the gospel, Lord, for this circle time, Lord, where your word is spoken, Lord, may it be spoken at at the right level, Lord, to just penetrate into the hearts of children, even at that young age, Lord, but also to speak to the adults who are there as well, Lord, that would lead to thinking, would lead to thoughts, many questions, interactions, Lord, where it can be built upon, Lord, and relationships can be made. We pray for the feed into the women's work, Lord, for the opportunities coming up in the coming months with the afternoon team, the bus run, and the carol service, Lord. We pray that there will be interest there, Lord. Lord, even if it's just because of a sense of obligation to come to something else, Lord, whatever it takes to bring them in another context where they can hear your word and be exposed to the truth of the gospel and the message that you have for them, Lord, that you are real and you want to feed into their lives. Lord, we pray for the team as well, just the practical things. We pray for patience, some of the situations that may come up over the kids, Lord. But we pray for wisdom as well, for inspiration in how they approach things, Lord, to keep that interaction and interest going as well. Lord, we pray for little Emily, Lord, with this bronchitis, Lord. We pray for your provision there. Lord, we pray for your words being in Emma's life, even through that, Father, Lord, that she can know comfort from you, Lord, that she can see your real, that you have a message and hope for her life as well. So
yeah.
These people in your hands, we put this group in your hands, we've done it before, Lord, we pray for you to be a blessing upon it. Jesus' name.
Amen.
It wasn't long after we got word that we were being given these premises that Mervyn and Kathy started to come along when obviously we were still in Greenway. And we have no doubt whatsoever that that was very much in the providence of God that they came our way because of the amount of renovation that was required on this building. And we're very indebted to Mervyn for the work that he has done over the last year or so on these premises. I know you don't like lists, Mervyn, but I have a list here because I made a list of the things that Mervyn has done in this building. Front windows, side windows, upstairs room skylights, main hall skylights, front doors, side door, a complete refurbishment of our wonderful kitchen, hallway cupboards, a refurbished store with shelving, minor hall floorboards and skirting, heater guards, meter boxes, carpeting, plumbing, tiling, and a soffit outside. That gives you an idea. That gives you an idea of how much we've managed to extract from this man. And we're very grateful as a fellowship for the quality of Mervyn's craftsmanship, which is just outstanding. We recognise as well that this has involved a huge amount of travelling for Mervyn. It also has meant a lot of late nights, including, I believe, on occasion to midnight, working here in the building on his own. And also, it has involved, obviously, a lot of trust because Mervyn comes, lets himself in, works away and locks up. And that is a wonderful thing that we've been able to trust, you know, someone to come in and do that. We haven't quite finished with him yet. There's one or two wee things still on the list that have to be done. But as a token of our appreciation, you know that dream holiday in the Seychelles that you always talked about? Well, keep saving, mate. But we have a little token of our appreciation here, so I would ask you to take that, yeah, okay. Do you want to say something?
Love your father.
It's our last time here, so, well, it's maybe not our last time here, we might come at night, but we just, I actually asked Nigel, do I need to say anything, and he said no, and then Kathy says, Jeff just says to me we're going to say something. So I was actually just thinking as we left the house today, there's a Fanny Crosby wrote a song and it says, all the way my Saviour leads me, what have I cast beside? Who can doubt his tender mercy? who through life has been my guide. And Nigel, just, I was thinking of background information. Carson likes it and may bore the rest of you. But 2-3 years ago, I wasn't doing joinery at all. I had been doing joinery for a lot of years, and just to give you a quick rundown, we had, in 2006, we had moved to Northern Ireland. 2008, we felt the Lord calling us to go to New Tribes Mission Bible College. We were over there for a year. We came back to Northern Ireland after a year, wondering if that was it, all done. New Tribes Mission phoned us back, said we need a joiner, we've got 300 fire doors need done. Went back over there for a year. And then eventually we came back to Northern Ireland. I was at Baptist College for 3 years, finished Baptist College, was working with a mission for probably 5 years, both of us, on and off. Yeah. And still doing wee bits of joinery, but you know, you've no van, you've no car, whatever. In 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I went over to Scotland to visit my mum and dad. My dad had Parkinson's disease, and we hadn't seen him for 3 years at the time. When you're working with missions and all that kind of stuff, it just, you know, means don't allow you to do that. And I went back over to Scotland and realised how badly ill my dad actually was. And we took the decision to move my mum and dad across to live with us because there was no other option. There just was no other option. And everything was, you know, what do we do here? That was just the house had asbestos from the top of the house to the bottom of the house. And so what began as a 6-week job turned into probably about 13 months job for me. In that time, mum and dad moved across. Kathy was dad's main carer. Kathy had worked in a nursing home before. And it just seemed almost in every way as if everything in our life was going wrong. You know, it was just, there was issues going on at church. There was issues going on with, obviously, the upheaval of mum and dad. I was in Scotland, and I can remember I was lying on a camp bed in a house with no electricity and no water. I was actually washing out a bucket for, just because that's how bad things were. And every week I came, every time I came home, I'd be away from every 10 weeks at a time, I'd come back and Carrie say, how much longer have you got to go? And I would just say, oh, another 2 weeks. Now, I knew it was going to be 6 months, but I knew 2 weeks was something we could manage. And, you know, we ended up, the church we were in, we ended up having to leave the church. The mission that we were in absolutely imploded from the inside. Nothing to do with us on the other side of the world. And I was over in Scotland and I met a friend who we knew, who was at a church when we were young, when we were married. And I was speaking to him and I said, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, we're going to have to, you know, we get support. I says, we're going to have to give up all the support. And what am I going to do? How am I going to get work? And the guy said to me, he's slightly charismatic, he says to me, Mervyn, the Lord's just told me right there, everything's going to be fine. You're going to have more work than you can handle.
So,
he's a prophet. So that's really what's happened, you know. So we've been back here. So
I think as well that time, you know, Mervyn was saying about coming back. Well, you're fine. You stand there. coming back and just not knowing what's happening. It's just, Lord, what is going on? Everything seems to be going wrong. And we just needed renewed. And we came through the doors here. And there's not really any words that we can express to say that the Lord definitely renewed in us. He renewed, reminded us more than anything. When we were younger, we knew who the Lord was. We saw him working through people. And we kind of got disillusioned that God's word would say one thing and people would act a different way. When we came here, we knew from the beginning that it wouldn't be a long time that we could keep this up, that there maybe was a dream in the back of our mind that we could move to Belfast and, you know, our girls would come with us and we would be here as a fellowship, but it hasn't happened that way. But the Lord gave us what we needed. We needed to be reminded that his word is true, and people will act in many different ways, but that's not who Christ is. Christ is who his word says he is. And we just can't thank you enough for the kindness and the love that you have shown us. Mervyn jokes about all the work that you've given him, but he needed that fellowship. He needed the fellowship of men who would come and have a joke with him, slap on the back of the head, you know, and it was meant in, you know, fellowship. I was the only one that was able to do that, you know, so I had to be a lot harder on him, but he just needed that fun. He needed that kind of easiness with people. And, you know, as a wife to my husband, I actually want to thank the men in the fellowship, especially just for the kindness that you've shown him.
We've been in a lot of churches, and this church is quite unique. You know, it's just to meet down to earth people. You know, really just down to earth people, and it's been it really has been such a blessing. Oh, maybe some of you who don't know, we actually live in Portadown, okay? So we've been travelling up here. So just, you know, we said at the time we'll come for 6 months. It's been longer and longer, and we've decided that we really have to. You know, I'm meeting people all the time, working with guys, tradesmen. You know, it's amazing the amount of people God is bringing across my path who have maybe even grown up in church and different things, and they're disillusioned with it, and they don't want anything to do with church. And I don't know whether it's a new mission field the Lord's leading me on, but, you know, amazing opportunities to get the gospel. Alan, that's been working here, that's been helping me with the windows. Yesterday I was reading the Belfast Telegraph, and a Free Presbyterian minister that we worked for, there was a sermon in there called Set Your House in Order, and the picture of the Free Presbyterian minister was from about 20 years ago. So I took a picture of it, sent it to Alan WhatsApp, and said, get your house in order, boy. You know, now, I don't know, God's working in him. The questions he asks me all the time, and I says, Alan, I'm doing all I can to show you that I'm not a good living person, because he knows too many good living people, you know. So God's opening up opportunities for us. We're starting to attend a church in Portadown. It's just early days. We've only been there for 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, even in that time, even this morning, I suppose there was two or three other couples who we know, or even our own girls, come along this morning, and really just, you know, you're saying, Lord, there's something going on here. We don't know what the next step is, but we just want to thank you for all that you've shared with us, for Jeff and Nigel and Patrick, for the teaching, and just the down-to-earthness of you. That's been a real breath of fresh air. I was beginning to think everybody was holy willies over here, you know. So we kind of thought we would like to. I said to Marina a couple of weeks ago, if when you leave a church, now obviously we've been away for a few weeks, and I said, people will start asking, oh, you know, so they were coming along and they've left, you know, so oh, I wonder what went wrong. And I says, Marina, if MD asks, you just say, there was too many grey areas in this church, okay? Grey is always. I really think you need a wee bit of colour in there. We all wear these t-shirts or something, you know. So I thought it was a lot of grey areas, and then I thought, you know, probably the Baby Shark song was kind of starting to tip us. No, that's not true. So I just want to finish with, I just want to read this out from Ephesians, and it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power to us who believe. That power is the same as his mighty strength he exerts when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Thank you very much, Coach. And the students said as well, obviously, Mervyn gets all the credit for all the work, but we do recognise that when you were here at midnight or whatever, that Cathy was looking after your parents at home as well. So we really appreciate that. And I'm going to ask Patrick if he would just pray for Mervyn and just spend the time to do it.
Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for your provision, Lord, for your goodness and kindness to us in so many different ways. We thank you for bringing Mervyn and Cathy into our fellowship, Lord, here for this period of time, and for all that Mervyn has accomplished physically on the premises here. We do give you thanks, Lord, and we have enjoyed fellowship with Mervyn and with Cathy too, Lord, and we thank you for the joy of knowing them, Lord, and just for the practical fellowship and the spiritual fellowship that we've had with one another, Lord, as we've been on this journey together, Lord. But we thank you for their honesty tonight, Lord. And we know that you are the God of the valley as well as the God of the mountaintop. And Lord, we realise that they have had some rough times, Lord, and many of us can understand that there are days whenever we question where we're going and what we're doing and where you're leading us, Lord. But we thank you for your affirmation of your word, Lord. And we thank you that you have a plan for our lives and you have a plan for Mervyn and Cathy, Lord. And we pray that you would lead them in the way that you would have them go, Lord. Make it crystal clear what you would have them do and how you would have them serve you in whatever capacity that is, Lord. So, Lord, we lay them before you and we pray your blessing upon them and what their family, Lord. We think of Chloe again, Lord. We thank you that she's out of hospital again. We pray that you might make a full recovery, Lord, and be able to go back to university again, Lord. Bless her and bless her mom and dad, Lord. So we pray for Mervyn that you will continue to use him in whatever area you would have him be, Lord. And for Cathy too, as she supports Mervyn's mom and dad. And we know the stresses and the strains that brings, Lord. So we pray that you would be all that they need in every situation, Lord. So we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for the encouragement these evenings are, Lord. Thank you for Jill and Andrew joining us, Lord. It's a breath of fresh air for us to see young people coming along and dedicating their lives. Pray that you would guide them too, Lord, as they start out in married life together and in a career, Lord, that will lead to your glory, Lord. Bless them and may we be a blessing to them. We thank you for little mites, Lord, for the energy and the enthusiasm of the team there, Lord. We pray that this might be a vehicle, a way into the lives of moms, Lord, in this area, and little kids, Lord, that they might come to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. So bless us, Lord, as a little community of yours, Lord, in this part of East Belfast, and may we be salt and light in this situation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.